This is very Big Brother sounding. This makes me paranoid. This makes me feel like I'm being watched. Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent. China's social credit score. That's got like, but these three out of those four words are scary.
They're all scary, Bruce. And what they're looking to do is scary. And I'm a little conflicted in how to cover this because they're not alone. And for the most part, half of the stuff's already happening. So point of discussing this thing this evening is for a bit of a wake-up call for ourselves to say, oh, there goes our privacy. There goes some more of our privacy. There goes people soaking up all of our data, and we have no idea what they're doing with it or when they plan to start using it against us.
Using it against us. Now, here, that's an interesting choice of phrase. In the world of data, if you are somebody who is a points freak, for example, and you're on some kind of rewards program, either you get rewarded for the food you buy or the exercise you do or the way you drive your car, whatever the case is, and you voluntarily submit your data to a company or to several companies who then you give the right to track your every movement, and in return you get a cup of coffee once a week, and you feel like you're winning because actually you're getting something for nothing. But you're not, because you're giving away all of this information. Now, what scares me is precisely what you suggest. What happens when your data gets used against you?
Strictly speaking, your data has always been used against you. I mean, right from the earliest times, society has started to say, how do we make sure that everybody behaves in a way that's advantageous to society? And when you set the needs of the group ahead of the needs of the individual, well, for some people, that's highly problematic. I happen to say that's fair. We should balance the needs of the group with the needs of the individual. But all of those programs effectively have a greater incentive to the benefit of the company or the country or whoever it is that's organizing it. Ultimately, they initiate it. Than the person receiving the rewards. Now you can say, well, I can choose not to do that, but they make it pretty compelling. And after a while, you saw it's kind of hard not to. You know, there's inducements, there's things that make you want to do it. And so, in looking at China, which I do think is going to have some pretty big obstacles to overcome, but will rush ahead headlong nevertheless, and will make lots of mistakes along the way, because everybody else does. And quite honestly, some of the systems we currently have, I think, are very bad. Yet we all use them and we all trust them. Because there isn't really an alternative. And the paper-based versions are the one that says, you know, just trust people. It's kind of hard. So the historical context, you know, religious commandments, that's a form of trying to control us for the benefit of society. Human rights are effectively a way of compelling everybody to behave according to a certain set of norms for the benefit of all of us. But it prevents you from doing certain things that maybe you'd say, well, why can't I do this? And you did say the sort of 1984 kind of idea, the Big Brother watching you. Its supposed intention was also to create harmony and keep everybody sort of living in a lovely equilibrium. It just failed to do so, because when people start getting access to that kind of power and know everything you're about to do, they sort of remove your ability to resist them, to dissent in any meaningful way, to say, actually, you've gone too far. And ahead of the show, as a way of having a look at one very, very strong indicator that we do all kind of buy into, I asked if people are aware of what their credit score is. Because that is a very big one. Just about any transaction you wind up doing, business or as an individual, at some point somebody's going to go and check that credit score. And I'm very pleased to say that 41% of 702 and Cape Talk's followers on Twitter said they check their credit score annually. Which, you know, you can check it more often than that, but at least checking it once a year gives you some sense.
But if you check it more often, I am told that it actually negatively impacts your credit score.
It's a signal, you're right.
Because it's a signal that you're paranoid, you're worried about this thing. So if you go in every week checking your credit score, they're going to say, what is this person actually up to?
Yeah, so I do not not be counted amongst the 41%. I went to go check my credit score today, and I know you're supposed to get one free check a year. And that's typically how often I go and check it. And the last time I checked, because they keep records like this, they told me it was 2013. So I haven't been very conscientious about it. Yet despite trying to click every single link I could find on the site and the search engines for my free credit check, every time I got to the point of saying, yes, give me the credit check, they said, right now, stump up $80.
Nah.
So it's like, come on, guys.
License. You are,
yeah. And here's the other bit. While 41% said, yeah, they check it annually, everybody else doesn't, and 13% said they'd never even heard of it. And that's a real worry, because they don't know how much their behavior that they're doing is generating potentially a very negative assessment against them that they have no idea how actually to change or even to determine what it is. They'll just get told, sorry, you didn't qualify for the loan, or you're not going to be able to buy this car, or all sorts of things that it actually affects us for. And that's why I figured, in saying China, this is not a good idea, we've got to look at ourselves as well and say, well, we've got plenty of these that aren't very good ideas that we're busy with anyway. But let me tell you a bit more about China's plan, because this is not a new thing for China. They've been looking to create social cohesion as part of the Chinese sort of society for a very long time. It's just been quite human intensive. You need to have lots of people watching things. But these days with technology, cameras, phones, they're capable of logging your actions and determining what you've been doing for a long time. And ultimately, their system is to try and reduce fraud, reduce dishonesty, have people sort of, and businesses, create the kind of environment where, corruption is reduced, people settle debts, people stick to their word, they don't try and sell you counterfeits. I mean, it's all, the intentions are fantastic. And this is probably where the tricky bit comes. So intentions, I don't fault anybody for what they want to do. The methods and ultimately the ethics that go into how it's engineered and put together, that's where the problem comes. Because besides any company, or in this case, a country's intention to want to create something like this, if it is opaque, and unfortunately they kind of are, it's hard for you to register an appeal or get something else sorted. And while many people, even in this country, would say, our justice system, it's so laborious and time intensive and everything else, I say, you're right. But what if it wasn't? Then you couldn't appeal and make sure that any mistake that was made can be checked, and there's a check and a balance all the way along. Now, tech companies tend to say, move fast, break things kind of idea. So let's come up with a quick, simple solution. And quick, simple solutions often have big, unintended consequences. And again, let me give you two stories that I am aware of that was quite interesting. One was from a U.S. retailer who wanted to reduce the time people were standing in queues. So they told the cashiers, we're going to incentivize you to scan the items quickly and get people on their way. That'll make customers happy, and we'll move the queues quickly. We won't have to hire more cashiers. This is a good deal. And initially they saw a huge spike and everything was good. And then they noticed there was a problem with shrinking. Items were not being accounted for. They were disappearing. And it took them a while to work out that the cashiers, when scan an item, beep, 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 all good. But when you scan something and it doesn't work, and the cashier's got to stop and now type in that number or rescan it, they were simply just putting in the person's bag and saying, have it free. Because they were being incentivized for getting the stuff out there. Sure. And they weren't being incentivized to tell people that, hey, some items aren't scanning correctly or the scanner's not working, because there was an incentive for them to move quickly, not to report things. A customer who gets a free item is not going to go back and say, I found a free item in my bag. You didn't charge me for it. Well, not many would. So they took a long time to work out what was going wrong with that thing, and that's not so good. A personal experience I had, there's a retailer in this country that has these little buttons that when you go to checkouts and you go to various service points, they ask you to just give some feedback. And I was at the checkout, and before my items even scanned, the cashier just pressed the excellent button. And initially, I possibly don't even notice these things. And I had a look, and I said, what did you just do there? I said, I just pressed the button. I said, but that says it was excellent service. And she was almost shocked to say, wasn't it? And I'm pretty sure somebody at some point said, listen, guys, you've got to increase your scores. You've got to do whatever else. And it's going to get you the very opposite thing. And in my case, I was kind of disappointed to say, hey, how do I trust that this thing's working if you guys are just jamming the buttons whenever you want for your own purposes? And that's the kind of catch with this stuff, because the signals you try and create to induce good behavior, whether that be loyalty cards or health reward things, initially it's all very good. And then somebody says, I've got a cunning little plan to try and, play game the system. And now you've got to counter that, and you've got to put in more rules. You've got to make it tougher for people, because some people are just like super achievers, and then everybody else is sort of stuck in the middle and they can't get anywhere, and then they sort of give up. And so there's all these elements here for how they get applied that is really quite difficult. But I have digressed, unfortunately.
You have a little bit.
Yes, I'm trying to tell you what's going on in China, and here I'm blathering about everything else. So their system will measure. Typically, they're using both the state and certain private companies that gather data payments and other behavior payments. Some of them, including Alibaba, Tencent, are part of the experiment and trial. It kicked off in 2014. The plan is that by 2020, they will have established more or less something that can roll out to the entire country. And then these things will give you a score. The score sort of starts as a mid score. You got like 600 points, let's say. And every time you seem to have been good with the repayment of a loan or etc., you will enhance your scores. Your scores will improve, and a good score is almost like a, hey, let me show off my good score. And in fact, one of the apps that is involved with this thing is a dating site, and you're encouraged, if you want to share your social score, because that's sort of a marker of this is probably a good partner to have because they're well regarded in society. Likewise, if you've got a bad score, of course you don't want to show anybody that, so you start finding ways to say, how do I improve my score? The downside is, and it's quite clever as well, when you do fall foul of the system or drop below a certain score, they prevent you doing certain things that won't prevent you completely, but make it difficult for you. And in China, travel is obviously quite common, and people need to move large distances from where they live and where they work. And so they remove the ability for you to book airline tickets and high-speed rail tickets. You slowly have to get from point A to point B. That's the kind of really powerful inducement to say, I don't want to get on the wrong side of the law here because of what it'll do to you. And if you think about South Africa, we're looking to do similar things. I mean, traffic enforcement is all about keeping you safe and doing what needs to be done, but it's highly laborious. You've got cops trying to stop you. Right now, you can have everybody in South Africa say, you've got to download this app. You've got to fill in your license number. Your app is going to track how fast you're driving your car. Your app knows where you are in South Africa and what the speed limit is where you are. You exceed the speed limit, we warn you. You do it too often, we'll fine you. We'll dock points on your things. So we're all capable of doing this. And on the face of it, they're great ideas. We can stop people speeding with a simple app and not too much work. But what happens when somebody starts just putting you into the bad section? They suspend your license because somebody's got control of it at the back and you don't know who that is and you don't know how to appeal it and who's going to fix it all up.
Ideal world, we shouldn't be afraid of this stuff. But the world is not ideal and it's not run by ideal kinds of people. And that's why with human interference, data is a dangerous tool in the wrong hands.
Yes, and you know, it's not just the manipulation and the bad things in the back end. There's also a thing between humans, the gaming of the system and the fall down of it. And yeah, I'm going to refer to something that generally as somebody who covers technology should never refer to, because the Black Mirror series does for technology it's basically for people who absolutely hate it. The fact that it's a Netflix series, I suppose, is a lovely little irony, but there you go. There is an episode in there called Nosedive, which anybody who wants to see just how bad this can be, give Nosedive a watch. And if you're very, you know, if you're very good at noticing things, Capetonians in particular, you'll see that it was shot here in Cape Town. But it really paints the issues of when you try and induce people to behave in one way, particularly nicely to each other, how you can actually create the exact opposite.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual, the stuff you need to be aware of, not necessarily frightened of at this stage, but you give away your information at your peril.